गदीर में बादू बुलंद करके दिखाते रहे रसूल, बादू बुलंद करके दिखाते रहे रसूल।
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين. روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite a salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. I would like to congratulate all of the believers, brothers and sisters, Muslimin, Muslimat, Mu'mineen and Mu'minat, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, and the Imam of our time on the occasion of Eidul Mubahala. The incident of Mubahala is definitely an Eid for us in many ways. One is the victory of Islam in the dispute between the Christians and the Muslims in the incident of Mubahala. The victory was recorded for Islam without there being any type of bloodshed, any type of war with the Christians of Najran, an area in Arabia. There were Christians there in the south. The mushrikeen created trouble for the Prophet. They attacked the Muslimin, they threatened the Muslimin, and so the Prophet had to deal with them militarily. And upon their defeat militarily, they gave in to the rule of the Prophet. So there was military combat. In the incident of the conquest of Mecca, although there wasn't in the end a military conflict, but there were at least three conflicts that preceded it, the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of Ahzab, that was, although it was the Ahzab, numerous tribes, nations, the Jews and the Mushrikeen pretty much came together against the Prophet, but it was something that was spearheaded by, again, the Mushrikeen of Mecca, predominantly. They were the staunch enemies of the Prophet and the center of shirk in Arabia at the time. So although the conquest of Mecca did not involve a military conflict, yet the way it happened was that there were three military conflicts. And also when the Prophet went for the conquest of Mecca, there was a military presence that in the end did not have to engage militarily, but there was a military presence. In the incident of Mubahala, there was no talk of and no involvement of any type of military equipment, any warfare, any army, any warriors, none of that. It was a discussion and a debate that the Christians of Najran came forward and they were waiting for a prophet, and the prophet claiming that he is the prophet that they're waiting for and showing the signs, them not being convinced, apparently, some of them. However way those details worked, in the end, there was a call for a mubahala, a session where the two parties come and they both curse the liar and the one who is on the wrong course. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show and reveal the truth in that process, where the one who is truthful, the one who is true, will be the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists, and the other will be wiped out. This is something on its own, the idea of mubahala and how it works and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it work is something to look into and discuss. But that was the setup, and then even that didn't end up occurring. They had a conversation amongst themselves, the Christians, that if the Prophet shows with his close relatives, and there are few in number the next day for Mubahala, then he must be on the right course, and we shouldn't mess with him. And if he gathers with a lot of people and not his close relatives, then we should proceed with Mubahala. He's not a true prophet. And the Prophet showed up with the closest to him, his daughter, his son-in-law, cousin, and the one he raised, Ali ibn Abi Talib, that the Quran refers to as his nafs, the nafs of the Prophet, and the two precious grandchildren of the Prophet, Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn, and no one else. And so they saw those signs, they realized this person knows what he's talking about, he must be on the right. They gave in, they accepted the rule of the Prophet, the authority of the Prophet, although unfortunately they refused to accept his prophethood as a messenger of God and become like all the Muslimin. They decided to remain, for the most part, as Christians over there, but give in to the authority of the Prophet and allow him to be the ruler of the region and then be citizens of the government of Islam, or as it's termed in jurisprudence based on the ahadith and verses, they accepted to become dhimmis, or dhimmi ahlul kitab, in and amongst the Muslims and as Muslim, as citizens of the Islamic government. This is one aspect of mubahala that makes it an Eid. It's a victory for the believers, for Islam. Another aspect is a clear and manifest presentation of the status of the Ahlul Bayt amongst the Ummah of the Prophet. The Holy Prophet did not take any of his wives. The Holy Prophet did not take anyone else. These are the figures that were present for Mubahala. That's another aspect that can be looked at and lessons learned for everyone to see, another instance of, again, the display of, the show of the difference between the Ahlul Bayt compared to the rest of the Ummah of the Prophet and the followers of the Prophet. There's one aspect of Mubahala that is very relevant to us. And not in a way where we reaffirm our faith in the Ahlul Bayt, in the Prophet, in Islam. But rather it's something that is very practical and important for us on a day-to-day basis. And especially when it comes to difficult disputes regarding what the correct thing to do, the right path is. This is very important. There are many times that on a social level, community level, there is a dispute about what is right, what course of action is right, who is right, and who is wrong. These matters occur. These situations occur. There are times there are disputes between, and let me relate that here. This dispute was between monotheists. The dispute is between those who believe in God, who believe in prophethood, who believe in the Day of Judgment, who believe that there is a last prophet. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi on one side is saying, I am that last prophet, you should believe in me. They on the other hand are saying that you are not that person. There's a right and wrong here amongst people that not between shirk and tawheed. It's not about kufr in Allah and iman billah. It's not about that. It's amongst people of faith regarding a matter. They want to see who is right and who is wrong. They have a dispute here. They resorted to the idea of mubahala. There's something about that that's very relevant to us. These types of disputes occur. It doesn't have to be between Muslims and Christians. It could be between Muslims themselves. It doesn't have to be between Shia and Sunni, these different sects. It doesn't have to be like that. It could be between Sunnis themselves, between Shias ourselves. There could be disputes. Fitan occur, situations arise where there's a right and wrong here we're trying to figure out. There are times, of course, God forbid, al-ayadu billah, there are disputes, fights, even military conflict between Muslimin. Both sides are wrong. All the conflicts between the tyrants, all the governments that were not Islamic governments, but Muslims ruled, the disputes between them, they were Muslims. The disputes between the Ottoman Empire and the Qajar, or before that, the Safavid Empire in current-day Iran and Azerbaijan and Georgia and wherever else it included, a larger empire on this side, and the Ottomans, they were both Muslims on both sides of the border. Their dispute was entirely based on nafs and who's going to rule. Both are wrong. Neither of them should rule. There are times that are like that. But then there are times that hopefully this is a little more applicable to us, that the dispute is between Muslimin, between the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, about what is wrong and what is right. The pressure mounting on people causes them to doubt, to question. And that itself becomes an issue in identifying the haqq. If everyone agrees or there's no dispute on what the haqq is, I say this is the haqq, nobody's pushing me on that. They just don't agree with me. They're doing their thing, I'm doing my thing. We don't see each other Okay, who cares? It doesn't really affect my judgment of what is right and what is wrong. There are times, however, there's a dispute, there's a conflict. They're saying you shouldn't believe what you believe in. You shouldn't do what you're doing. They say we are right, you're wrong. And you need to stop. And on the other hand, the other party, which we're in this discussion saying, assuming that it's the one that we're part of, in that condition, I'll describe it a little further, we're saying, no, this is the right thing. We need to continue with this course of action. These situations do arise. There's a few things about this that I don't want to discuss. There's something related to Mubahala that we do want to discuss. It's very important. The parts that I don't want to discuss, I'm just going to go over very briefly, is that we have to really, honestly, between us and Allah, بيننا وبين الله, make sure that we are looking at the situation correctly. The reason why we're believing haq to be haq is there. It's based on reason. It's clear. It's there. We didn't make it up. It's not about me. It's not about me having said something that I now cannot retract. And in order to keep my face, I want to push and say, no, this was right. Because I don't want to accept that I made a mistake. This is very important. We should be completely willing that if what I said, what I did, what I am doing, the course I am taking is wrong, look into it. If it's wrong, I will change that. I will accept fault. I will accept that I made a mistake. One of the things that we have in Islam is Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. But beside the verses and a hadith about Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar is the idea of I'timar bil Ma'ruf. يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. If they're told this is munkar, they look at it. They don't say, oh no, I'm too good to do anything wrong. They look at it and they see, oh, they're right. This is munkar. I should accept it. Okay. That's one thing. That's not what we're discussing. What we're discussing is this situation. If we are on the right path, we are, we're looking at it, we keep looking at it, we listen to what they're saying. They say for this reason, that reason, A, B, C, these are reasons why you're wrong. Like, okay, I'm looking at what you're saying. A is not right for this reason. B is not right for this reason. C, if you have anything else, let me know. But these are not reasons. They're actually, they prove the opposite or whatever it is. It's clear. The course of action Allah has made clear to me. This is the course of action. However, there's a lot of pressure mounting on the opposition. A lot of mouths, a lot of words, a lot of people, a lot of negative attention. That creates a load on one's shoulder. It creates pressure. Let's look at some of the things that have happened recently. I don't know if you have you watched or saw or read or heard Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah's speech on the occasion of the 14th anniversary of the victory in the 33-day war, the War of July in 2006. Or not. After the major explosion in Beirut, all these voices, media, campaign, foreign involvement coming in to try to pressure the Lebanese government in its entirety to bring down the president, the parliament, the prime minister, and destroy the whole thing. This is what we're talking about here, okay? How did they do that? Was it the killings? It's not. How many people got killed on the streets? A few, which is still serious. But it's not like they put a gun to the president's head. It's not like they put a gun to the head of the prime minister in the cabinet. It's all those words, all those people, all that media these days repeating these things, accusations. You're trying to do this. You're trying to hold on to government. You want this for yourself. You're corrupt people. All this stuff mounting. And that pressure causes a person to give in and say, you know what? In different ways. The part that, again, that we want to address here is the idea of knowing what the right path is. If I know this is the right path, a lot of pressure is mounting, a lot of people are saying things, and then becomes a situation where that vision of yours, that truth that you're seeing, is going to be put to test. This is important. Mubahala, this is a very serious matter. The belief, the truth of the Prophet being the last Prophet is being put to test in the form of a test that God will destroy the party who's lying. Okay. Now obviously for the Prophet, it's not an issue at all. It's crystal clear to him. He knows he's the messenger of Allah. Ali ibn Abi Talib knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is Rasulullah. Fatima al-Zahra, similarly, Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn, with their young ages, they're not normal children here. They are people that know the fact of, they're not just brought over, Fatima al-Zahra, as their mother just say, you know, come along with us. They know, they believe in this, they know what they're doing. And this is the point here. We can't get all the way up there, but in these disputes where fellow believers, followers of the Ahlul Bayt, they start saying things using arguments that could start to make you think otherwise, not because the argument is sound, but because there's something that is being put to test, and then there's this nafs part that comes in, a fear of defeat if it's put to test. Okay. If this idea is put to test, what if it doesn't happen? What if, this is mubahala here, okay? It's not me doing something. It's not a wrestling match and I say, okay, I have the strength. I can take care of this. We're going to do dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to destroy any party that is lying. What if we go there and God destroys us? What happens then? All right. There are a lot of examples. I'll use one example because I think it's out here these days, time-wise, and also the conditions we are in, this is a good example of community centers in the West, in our area, and in some other areas. I'm not sure. I don't know if everyone did this, but in our area at least, shut down their Islamic programs, activities, congregational prayers, dua, kumails, other activities, before authorities who are in charge of making those decisions, with whatever shortcomings those authorities have. But they're the ones that have access to data that we don't. On a material matter, not a spiritual matter, the material part of it. They didn't say you need to shut down. A community center has decided to shut down. Muharram is approaching. Community centers that are not Muslim, that are Christian, they are worried about, at least the way we see it, I can't say this with full certainty, but I'm not going to accuse all these Christian institutions to be holding these programs for material reasons. There's at least partially, some of it is their belief in their religion. They're finding ways that are approved of to hold in-person programs. Muslim institutions, I'm not seeing as much of an effort. And then what's happening? Arguments are put forth about why this should not happen. Just cut everything out. Macs have something online. A person goes there in front of the camera, or even not there, but stay at home from the camera, do something, and then arguments are put forth to try to suggest that it's very wrong to hold programs. When you especially put some of these labels on it, oh, you're putting people's lives in danger. What if somebody, especially the elderly in the community, die? What if this, and so on and so forth? And then it pushes people who think that, look, we need to have these programs. Everybody goes to take care of their material necessities. Islam says these programs, congregational prayers, even Muharram, these are necessities. It's not wajib for this specific person or that specific person to go to this program or the other. That's why it's considered mustahab. However, upholding the program in the community is wajib. This is called wujub kifa'i. It's not wajib for every individual to attend this gathering or that gathering. For every individual to attend jama'ah prayers. But can Muslimin decide we no longer want to do jama'ah prayers? Islam, God said it's mustahab. Throughout, a government comes, says, okay, you know what? It's mustahab. We want to choose not to do this. Shut down the masajid. Pray at home. Is it wajib to go to a masjid? We would say that goes against Islam. Why? Because it's wajib to have masajid. It's wajib to have congregational prayers. Not that it means that I need to go to every prayer, and if I don't, somebody needs to be out there on the streets with a stick beat on me to go take me to the masjid. It means the authorities, the people, the community, the mu'mineen need to make sure they have organizations, institutions, buildings, plannings in order to hold these programs. This is wajib. The wujub is kifa'i. In terms of each individual going, yes, that's mustahab. It's not wajib. You have something to do, you don't feel like it this night or that night. But throughout the life, jama'ah prayers are mustahab. I never want to attend any jama'ah prayer. Anytime prayer comes in, there's a jama'ah right there. I don't want to do it. It's mustahab, isn't it? I'm going to pray right here. Throughout my choice is never to commit that. It's arguable that this is committing a sin. I don't want to say that because I haven't seen it in the works of the mujtahideen. But it's very arguable for a mujtahid to derive that from the rulings. You can't say, mujtahideen have said it regarding the ziyarah of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. They've said it in regards to upholding Hajj itself. Okay. Again, not necessarily for this person who is mustati' or the other. If you have a bunch of mustati' people they've already gone to Hajj. So it's not wajib on any of them. Nobody else can attend. Is it okay to leave Masjidul Haram, the Kaaba, empty, vacant? Nobody's there. Arafat is empty. Mina is empty. Mash'ar is empty. Nobody, not even one person. Is it allowed for us to do that? We have already gone. Others who haven't gone, they are not here. Hypothetically, this is a hypothetical situation. Is it okay not to perform Hajj? Nobody this year performs Hajj. Say no. Hajj must take place. Ziyarah of the Ahlul Bayt, particularly Ziyarah of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. It's mustahab. It's not wajib for you or the other to necessarily go. We don't have a ruling like that. But Ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn, there is a wujub for it, kifai. There must be people there. People have to go for Ziyarah. This has been said. There are plenty of explanations. Maraja have mentioned, Ayatollah Khamenei, who is a marja, who is a wali al-faqih, he said the organization, the committee that deals with decisions regarding coronavirus, everybody needs to uphold them. All the mu'mineen, it's a necessity, you need to do that. However, that committee needs to understand the programs for Laylatul Qadr, the programs for commemorating the Ahlul Bayt, The programs of munajat, of dua, these are necessities that must happen with that product. The same way you think Home Depot is a necessity, the same way that you authorities think that grocery stores are necessities, the same way that you think these other businesses, occupations are necessities. I don't even want to talk about restaurants. That if you think these are necessities of life that need to be open, we can't shut them down. Know that Islamically, this marja, waliyul faqih, says these activities are necessities. If they are necessities, the ones making decisions need to make those decisions with this thought process. Not that, oh my God, death, this, that, the other, shut it down. Well, death, this, that, the other, then shut grocery stores down and more people will die. In fact, some of the decisions that have taken place, extra or extreme measures in certain places, there are statistics in the UK for every three people, if I remember the stats right, every three people that died because of corona, two people died because the emergency rooms, hospitals, in that country were not available. This was one of their official news agencies. They had certain restrictions because of corona that caused the death of a larger number of people compared to other times where we don't have corona. What type of measure is this? You don't shut down grocery stores, hospitals, doctors don't come. Why? Because you could just save a life. Well, doctors need to go there to save lives. Grocery stores need to be open to save lives. You can't shut that down. Businesses generally need to be open. The extreme measure that shut everything down. Well, what are you going to do with homeless people now? People going from paycheck to paycheck. You save their material life, but they're going to be, God knows, they don't have access to funds, no loans, no credits, no nothing. Paycheck to paycheck, all the businesses and work is shut down. Now five people are going to be on the verge of dying because of the decision you made. Who says this is the right decision? Islamic activities are necessities. With the understanding that these are necessities that God has made necessary for us. Now, okay, what measures should we take? We're not going to shut it down because it is a necessity. It's not one of those things that should be. Gyms, public gyms, shut them down. You want to exercise, there's plenty of ways. Jog on the street, I don't know. Do press-ups at home, put something on YouTube or something online, do some exercise at home. All of these are available. You don't need to go there. It's not a necessary thing. Even if it's shut down for a whole year, nothing's going to happen. Cut down on your food. You're not going to die. You don't have to keep eating at home if you're at home. And you can take care of your fitness there. It's not a necessity. For instance, I don't know. I'm not making that call. It seems to an uneducated person regarding that matter. We are educated on Islam, and that's why we're saying these are necessary activities. Whatever is not necessary, okay, shut it down. Necessary activities, just tell us, okay, if we are going to hold it, how are we going to make sure that we take precaution so that we reduce the risk? And the other thing is, it's clear, you can't eliminate the risk. Whoever thinks this uneducated discussion of saving lives. No, you cannot save lives with these measures. It's not up to us to save that life from a divine perspective. God gives life and He takes life. From a material scientific perspective, those who took all the necessary measures that given to them, except for necessities, they did not leave. They quarantined for a whole month, for 3 months in fact. Left only in necessary occasions, for necessary reasons, took every single measure, social distancing, 2-3 masks perhaps, sanitize everything before and after, don't touch your face, no eye touching, nothing. They got the virus. It's there. I'm sure you have access to social media, TikTok, Facebook, whatever you like, Instagram. People who took all these measures, they got the virus. You reduce the risk. That's our job. Reducing the risk. Okay, what are the measures? But then there's so much pressure that comes. This is an example. Let's not lose track of the general idea, which applies here. It is an important point that we're using this as an example and trying to make sure we make the right decisions and encourage others. We, inshallah, we are holding whenever the advertisements and the information is going to go out. We will hold in-person programs outdoors. Those are the guidelines we have communicated to the city. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, according to the city even. And the police department has been notified. Outdoor programs are going to be held with the guidelines that are there. Inshallah, we encourage all centers to do this. In all countries, hold outdoor programs. Go with the guidelines, facial coverings, masks, whatever you like to call it. Social distancing, household social distancing, whatever way you... But have programs for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. It's a necessity. You can't shut it down and just have online programs and just do latam at home or matam at home, sinazani, whatever you call it in your language. We can't do that. If it's possible to have something more than that, to reduce it based on arguments that are baseless, we're not allowed to do that. We're going to miss out. And then, again, the other thing is, there's a time where, like, we're going to be doing this, and then others say, we're not going to be, this is our judgment. We encourage, we say, this is how we see it for these reasons. Talk to people, experts, authorities, and you'll see there's nothing, not only, there's nothing wrong with it, number one. There's everything right with it, number two, for these reasons that we stated, sort of both of them. But if an organization decides, okay, you know what, that's not how we, okay, they do their, but then people start attacking and saying, you shouldn't be doing this. You're going to cause deaths in the community. You're going to cause this, that, the other. What happens here? People start wondering, okay, oh my God, should we do this? Should we not do this? It was clear, and it's still, the evidence is there. But then we think, what if one person dies that came to the program? One person gets corona that came to the program. They're diagnosed with COVID-19, one person, during the Ashura or right after the Ashura. If that happens, and then officials, committee members, presidents, whatever of the community centers and organizations, they all want to hold back. What if this? Didn't you see the facts? Who says this person got it from your program? And even if they did, don't they get it from other places that they go for necessity? Don't people, didn't the person they got it from here in this session, didn't they get it from a grocery store, from the work that was a necessity for them to get their bills paid and so on and so forth? Why is it that only when it happens here it's a problem? The person who brought it here got it from another source. That's not a problem. We don't condemn them. The person that got it here, that's a problem. The idea of Mubahada is this. When there's pressure that is mounting about what's right and what's wrong, to see the truth that you have, see it clearly, and not allow all the talk, all the numbers of people, the words, the disrespects, the whatever, cause you to lose sight of the truth that you have. Look, again, hear everything. We've heard everything, plenty of it. You hear all of that. Okay, between me and Allah, the reason why I'm hearing it, I want to check, make sure that this is not wrong. But I've looked at it for these reasons. It's not right. This is the truth. All these people may disagree with it. You're clear between you and Allah. This is haq. Rest assured. Feel confident. Ya Allah, you know, I know this is haq. This is what you want. Okay. And if anybody puts that to test, like, yes, on the day of judgment, I will feel very comfortable. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks me, this person, that person died because they came to your Muharram program, say, Ya Allah, based on the maraja', the waliyul faqih, they said it's necessary. Then they said, the authorities said, you need to protect in these ways. I did both of those. And you said you give life and you take life. Even if you hide in fortresses, create bubbles for yourself. You have said in your book that I will take your life. These are the reasons why I did it. If despite all of this, you want to punish me, punish me. I'm that clear. Okay. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeing the truth and holding on to the truth because of its truth, not giving in to reasons that we know are not true simply because there's pressure. This idea of mubahala, brothers and sisters, is so important. So important for us. Each of us has got a responsibility to see the truth and follow it. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعَ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ. The hadith says, every single person is responsible. Every person needs to be careful and take care of at least themselves. Then, what I want to say more than that is, today or maybe tomorrow, sooner or later, some of us, many of us, even during a short period of time, we have greater responsibilities, at least a responsibility of a family. Then more than that, a responsibility many times, temporarily, for a couple years, few months, this program, that program, we'll have a responsibility to make decisions that influence or affect 50 people, 100 people, 300 people, 1,000 people. Sometimes God may put us in a position, our decision will affect millions of people. Okay. If we get this lesson from Eidul Mubahala, look for the truth and rest assured, if you're following the truth to the best of your ability to see the truth, rest assured Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. That's enough. It doesn't matter who says what. It doesn't matter. Okay. This will give a person the strength to stand, even with a few. The Holy Prophet came forward with his household. He put in, there was no real danger, actually, because it's clear the Prophet is the Prophet and so on. But with all that pressure for us, that we don't have that level of clarity, the thought may come to us, what if? Okay, look at it. If this is the truth, don't worry. There's no danger. Move forward. Move forward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these verses in the Quran, let's give some references besides this story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Allah ma'al muttaqeen. If you're careful to do things based on what He has said, you're a muttaqi. God says, Inna Allah ma'al muttaqeen. He's with you. If He is with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow you to go down. Allah will not allow you to be defeated. Allah will not allow you to be harmed. He's protecting you. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu. Okay. Another very nice verse is said to the Prophet, but it's in the Quran. It's addressed to him for us to hear. It's addressing us in that way indirectly as well. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا. If everybody turns back, فَقُلْ, say, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ, God is sufficient for me. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ, there is no Lord but Him. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ, I rely on Him. وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ, He is the Lord of the great throne. He controls everything. I rely on Him. I don't care. All of you can turn away. I rely on Him. He is sufficient. I'm not looking for the approval of anyone. except for him. If God doesn't approve it, I ask him to kill me and not allow me to do it. If he approves it, I don't care if the world disapproves it. This is what the verse says. And rest assured, if you do that, you will be the victor. You will be the one that, in the end, you'll see the results of it. Anyone who relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hope that the Ahlul Bayt, the Ahlul Mubahala, the ones who were present in the great event of Mubahala, take our hands. Show all of us, all the Muslimin, Muslimat, Mu'mineen, Mu'minat, lovers and followers of the Ahlul Bayt, the innocent people that have been deceived even of thinking that Islam is wrong, and they don't really hate Islam as it is. They hate the portrayal of Islam that is being given to them by the media, by the wrong sources, which is ugly. What they portray of Islam is horrible, and people shouldn't like that. That's not Islam, however. They disguise Islam with all these ugly terms, ugly attributions to make people hate Islam. People are hating those portrayals. A lot of people, if they would know what Islam actually is, they would love it. If they're good people, any good person, there's plenty out there, they would love it. The problem is what they've been told of Islam is, we ask Allah, by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, to include all of these people, the mu'minun, the muslimun, the innocent that have been deceived in thinking Islam is bad, who are rejecting because of that reason. Otherwise, they're good people. We ask Allah to save all of us, guide all of us, take us from the darkness of the material realm and the attachments of the material realm, and draw us closer to Himself through the Ahlul Bayt, these beacons of guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day that we are celebrating the occasion of Mubahala, which is an Eid, and the 12th Imam is happy about this memory and this occasion, that we use this as a time, one of the times you can go and apologize to someone is when they're happy. Okay, I don't know about you, but I think I need to apologize to the 12th Imam for all my misconduct, all my not following, all my not being concerned about him, trying to follow him, all those shortcomings. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this occasion that he allows us to say these words to the 12th Imam, and for the 12th Imam to forgive us, and for his heart to be pleased of us, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping Islam, especially our ulama, maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. Relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all people of the difficulties of this pandemic. And we ask Him to allow us to be able to congregate normally, pray congregational prayers normally, and to uphold the commemorations of Muharram in these conditions in the best way that He wants us to, and remove this so that we can go back to doing things in ways that we're more comfortable and convenient, and more people can attend, and less problems and less fears and less difficulties, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa alih, rahimallah man qala al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.